Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Yud Tes. We left off on the very top of daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph at the two dots. So the Mishnah had said, V'lo nivreches hakovsin. The Mishnah was talking about the various items that you're not allowed to be somech right on the border. So we said, V'lo nivreches hakovsin, unless you're marchik from kosel shel chavero shloshu tfachim, unless you leave 3 tefachim of space in between. So you need to keep 3 tefachim from the borderline to your nevrachas hakovsin, otherwise your nevrachas hakovsin is likely to be mazik your friend. So I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Rav Baravua, lo shanu ela min amach mitzan, avon min anadyan dal ramos. The way Rashi understands this is that the 3 tefach space is only from the nevrachas hakovsin, from the launderer's pit that they used to soak the garments in for a couple of days. They used to soak it in tzoas kalavim, in dog excrement, to loosen the stains. So it would soak there for a couple of days, and it wouldn't be moved, it wouldn't be handled, and that's where 3 tefachim would suffice. But the Nadyan, Rashi says, is where they would actually handle it and manipulate the garments and beat up the garments a little bit so there would be splashing, and therefore you would need a greater harchaka because it would affect a larger area around it since there's much more action going on by the Nadyan. So you would need to be marchik dal ramos from the Nadyan. The Rimi Gash understands that Nadyan is the even that you beat the garments on top of in order to get the water out of the Nadyan. But either way, the point is the same, that it's a lot more manipulating of the garment and a lot more splashing of water that can go a much greater distance. One of the Achronim, the Gidulei Shmuel, has the following suffix. What if they both come to dig at the same time? The neighbor comes to dig a bar, and you're coming to dig your Nevrach Sakovsin, your Nadyan of the Nevrach Sakovsin, in the splashing area of the Nevrach Sakovsin. Does the neighbor who's digging his bar need to be marchik shlosha tfachim? Or can he say, look, anyway, my neighbor on the other side is going to be marchik dal ramos. So I know when I dig my bar, even if I were to dig it right on the property line, it's not going to affect him because his digging is 4 ramos away from the wall. That's where he's chosen to put his nevrach sakovsin. He's not going to dig another bar in between because he doesn't want to damage his own bar. So maybe the Gedulei Shmuel says, the chiyuv harchaka on the neighbor, if he comes at the same time to dig his bar, maybe the chiyuv harchaka won't exist on the neighbor anymore. An interesting suffix, whether that would take care because of the increased damage or the greater amount of damage done by the Nadyan, and therefore the greater harchaka necessary, maybe that would exempt the neighbor from any harchaka whatsoever when it comes to digging a bar. Says the Gemara Vayter, Tanya Namihach, we have a braisa that supports this idea that there are 2 types of nevrach sakovsin, that the nevrach sakovsin where you don't manipulate the garments only needs to be 3 tefachim away, but where you do manipulate the garments needs to be 4 ramos away. The braisa says nevrach sakovsin, dal ramos, it says you have to keep the nevrach sakovsin 4 ramos away. Va'anantran gimel tefachim, but the Mishnah says gimel tefachim, elav shraminokad Rav Nachman. So we see Rav Nachman must be correct that some types of nevrach sakovsin need 3 tefachim, some types of nevrach sakovsin need dal ramos. Vika the Rabbi Lumirmi, and some asked it as a stira. Tanan, we learned in our mission on the one hand, nevrach sakovsin gimel tefachim, that you need to keep the nevrach sakovsin 3 tefachim away from the property. Vatani arba amos, but doesn't it say in a brayso that you have to keep it 4 amos away, which is obviously much much more than 3 tefachim? Some Rav Nachman, some Rav Baravua, lo kasha. Kan min amachmetzon, kan min anadyan. And that's what Rav Nachman said is chiddush. No, there are 2 types of nevrach sakovsin. The kind that's machmetzon, where you're just going to keep the garments sitting still, getting soaked in the tzoas klavim in order to loosen the stains, only needs 3 tefachim. The nadyan, where he manipulated constantly, is going to need 4 amos. Rabbi Chiya b'Reid Rav Avi Masin l'Behedya, and Rabbi Chiya b'Reid Rav Avi actually had it as a beferish teaching that the gimel tefachim only applies in our Mishnah. He had a girsa that the gimel tefachim only applies in the type of nevrach sakovsin where there's no moving around, because he had it as follows: elim kein hirchik misfas machmetzan ulekosel gimel tefachim, that you need to be marchik not from stamim nevrach sakovsin, from the machmetzan gimel tefachim. So you see, it's dafka that kind of nevrach sakovsin that you need to be marchik gimel tefachim. Fine. The Mishnah had said visad besid, going in the Reisha. The Mishnah had said this twice, really. In the Reisha, when it said you need to be marchik mikosel shel chavero gimel tefachim by the bar and the Shiach and the Ma'ara and the Amas Hamayim and the Nevrachas Kovsin, you need to be marking those things three Tvachim. It then said Visad Besid. Now in the Sefer, it spoke about Gefes and Zevel and Melech, all the heat-causing things, and it's also said Visad Besid or Osad Besid, depending on your Girsa. So, frankly, Gemara over here, Ibayilahu, Visad Besid Tanan or Dilma Osad Besid Tanan. In the Resha of the Mishnah, when we're talking about the diggings that have moisture and water, right, the Bar Shiach Mar and Rachsakovs and all those things, do those things need both a harchak of Gimel Tvachim and lining it with Sid, or one or the other? Meaning you can either be Marchik Gimel Tvachim or be Sad Besid. So says the Gemara, Pshita Divisad Besid Tanan. It's clear that it's supposed to be both. Because if it were one or the other, if it were osad besid, then we should have mentioned both of them together, meaning the Resha and the Seifa should not have been divided into two bavos. It should have been taught all as one bava, because they're both teaching the same halacha. So the only way that it makes sense to split the Resha from the Seifa is if the halacha in the Resha is different than the halacha in the Seifa. The halacha in the Resha must therefore be that since we're dealing with a more intense type of mazik, that you need to be both Marchik Gibel Tfachim and Sad Besid, and the halacha in the Seifa must be, since we're dealing with a less intense type of mazik, that it's one or the other, right? That it's either Marchik Gibel Tfachim or Sad Besid. Chaznish points out, though, what's the Havamina that we would have been able to put them together? Even if they both had the same halacha, let's say they were both Osad Besid, it was both optional, one or the other, Gimel Tvachim or Sad Besid. Anyway, you shouldn't put them together, because in the Resha, we're talking about being Marchik from Kosel Boro Shel Chavero. And in the Seifa, we're talking about being Marchik Mikosel Shel Chavero, not the Kosel of his bar, but there's Kosel, a Kosel Shel Binyan, an above-ground Kosel. So we're talking about two totally different cases. So the Chaznish says, Mikan Muchach, from here you see that the Shitas HaRambam is correct, where the Rambam writes that just like you need to be Marchik a Bar Shiach Ma'ara, from Kosel Boro Shel Chavero, so too you need to be Marchik all those things listed in the Resha, from Kosel Binyan Shel Chavero, from an above-ground Kosel that your friend has. And there's no Chilik between the harchaka you need to do from Kosel Boro and from Kosel Binyan. And the Raya is this Gemara, because the Gemara was willing to entertain a Havamina that the Resha and the Seifa belonged together, not just the Havamina, the Gemara seems to assume the Resha and the Seifa would belong together if only the halacha at the end were the same, that it's optional of either Gimel Tfachim or Sad Besid. But everything else is right on target, that they're exactly the same. So that implication is like the Rambam, that even in the Resha, we're not only speaking about being Marchik from Kosel Boro, we're even being talking about being Marchik from Kosel Binyan Shel Chavero. That's the Raya that the Chazanish has for the Sheet of the Rambam. The Rambam is in Hilchos Shchein and Perek Tes, Halacha Aleph. The other issue over here is the Rush writes, let's wait a second for that. Says the Gemara, Dilma Mishum Dlo Dami Hayazek Al Hayazek, Resha Hazek Ad Matun, Tosef Hazek Ad Avla. Says the Gemara, wait a second. Maybe the reason we don't list the Resha and the Seifa all as one big bava, as one straight halacha, is because the Resha and the Seifa are talking about two different types of mazikin. The Resha is talking about hezek done by moisture. All of the items listed in the Resha, the Nevrach Sakovsin, the Amas Hamayim, Bar, Shiach, Ma'ara, all of those things are things that have water in it and therefore damage through water, and all of the things in the Seifa are heat damaging items. So maybe that's why they're split apart, not because the halacha of how far you have to distance is different. Maybe the halacha of how far you have to distance is the same. It's just a matter of how the damage is being done. So says the Gemara, Tashma, let's bring a raya. So again, we have no raya from there, from the idea that the Resha and the Seifa are split. Where the Gemara stands right now is not a raya that the halacha of the Resha is different than the halacha of the Seifa. So says the Gemara, let's try to bring a raya. Tashma, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Sela, Babi Adayim, Zecho for Bar Mikan, Zecho for Bar Mikan, Zem Marchik Gimel Tfachim V'Sad Besid, Zem Marchik Gimel Tfachim V'Sad Besid. Right, Rabbi Yehuda says, when you have Sela Babi Adayim, which is very soft ground, so you can dig your bar on either side, each person can dig his bar on either side of the border, as long as he stays three Tfachim away, and he's Sad Besid. So time at the Babi Adayim, hello Babi Adayim Lo. Sounds like it's a special chumrah we add on soft ground, that you need to not only be Marchik Gimel Tvachim, you also need to be Sad Besid. But it sounds like if it were regular ground, you would not need to do both. You could do one or the other. Either be Markta Gimel Tfachim or be Sad Besid. So isn't this a Raya that it's O Sad Besid Tnan? So says Gemara, no. Who had in the Afagav the law Babi Adayim Nami Sad Besid? U Babi Adayim Yisrich Alei Salkatay Tichaminu Kivin to Babi Adayim Libay Rav Chatfei Kamash Malan. No, in reality, even if there's no chilik between Babi Adayim and Lo Babi Adayim, why does Rabbi, in both cases, you would need to be Marchik and Sad Besid. Why does it give me an example? Why does Rabbi Yehuda give me a case of Babi Adayim to teach me that even though it's Babi Adayim, you don't need more than three tefachim? One might have thought that you need a greater harchaka by a karka that's Babi Adayim, so that's why he comes to teach me that even though it's very soft ground, you don't need to be marchik more than three tefachim. But what was the raya? What was the raya from Rabbi Yehuda about Babi Adayim? It was based on a diuk. Right, we said that Rabbi Yehuda says that Babi Adayim needs Gimel Tfachim and Sad Besid, and we were Medayek, sounds like only Babi Adayim, but otherwise no. Tosus quotes that others had a different girsa. Others had a girsa that the Raya was not assuming that there's a chilik between Babi Adayim and everything else. And the Raya was, you see, Rabbi Yehuda holds that by Karka you need to be Chofer Gimel Tfachim away, plus Sad Besid, so it must be by everything, you need both. So it was a raya the other way. That, and then the Gemara responds, according to this alternative girsa, the Gemara then responds, what do you mean? Babi Adayim shiny! Babi Adayim is different! And it goes through that whole conversation with the Karila, my Karila, like we had previously. What were you thinking? Of course Babi Adayim shiny. Tosas, however, rejects that girsa. Tosas, that girsa has to be incorrect, because if we didn't have a havamina to be mechalik, if at first when we brought Rabbi Yehuda, we didn't think that there was a chilik between Babi Adayim and not Babi Adayim, then what would make us think that Rabbi Yehuda himself means that you do both Gimel Tfachim and Sad Besid? The words Gimel Tfachim vis Sad Besid could mean and, or it could mean or. If we're assuming that Babi Adayim is the same as any other karka, we don't know that Rabbi Yehuda means and. If you're assuming that Babi Adayim is more chamor and is therefore going to have a different din than everything else, then you know Rabbi Yehuda means and. Because you're saying, look, it's dafka by Babi Adayim, Rabbi Yehuda is going to be more machmir than what we do. What could possibly be more machmir than what we do? He must mean and. He must mean that you do both. So then you understand the raya. But if you think that the havamin is not to be mechalik between Babi Adayim and other types of karka, then we don't even know that Rabbi Yehuda himself, whether Rabbi Yehuda himself means and or. And therefore it would not have been a good raya. That's how Tosfos says our girsa must be the correct girsa. So what do we do la'alacha? It doesn't seem that there's any maskana over here in terms of the halacha. The Gemara raises the shaila, do you need to do both archakas gimel tfachim plus bisad besid, or does it suffice to do one or the other? And the Gemara doesn't give any answer. The Gemara first says, well, it's pshita that you got to do both, and then tries to bring a raya from Rabbi Yehuda that you really only have to do one. Rejects both rayas. It has a raya in each direction, and it rejects both of them. So the Rush writes that since it's a safek, and we're never poshet the safek, so the din is that if you do only one or the other, either your machik or your sad besid, you don't have to do more. That's as much as we can ask of you. If you do one or the other, since it's a suffix, we can't demand that you do more than that. The Rambam, however, the Rambam in Hilchos Shchein in Parak Tes, Halacha Aleph, writes that you need to do both. You need to be Marchik and be Sad Besid. And the Magen Mishnah says, where does the Rambam get the idea that you need to do both? The Rambam learns it from that which the Gemara initially says, Pshita Devis Sad Besitnan. The Gemara's raya that it's so pashut that it means you need to do both is rejected, right? The Gemara says, how do I know that it's pshita that visad besitnan? Because otherwise you could have put the resha and the sefer together, and the Gemara rejected that. The Gemara said there are other reasons why we can't put the resha and the sefer together, but still the lashon of pshita the visad besitnan, says the Magen Mishnah, is a giveaway that's what the Gemara thinks is the real halacha. So that's why the Rambam paskins in that direction. He doesn't think that it was an ibaya de lo pshita in the Gemara. It is an ibaya de pshita. The Gemara does come up with an answer, and that's the pshita of the Visad Besitanan. Rav Aaron Cutler writes in his Mishnah Rabbi Aaron that based on Agos Maimonios, that the Rambam required both Mishum Safek, though. Not like the Magen Mishnah says that the Gemara did come to a conclusion, but that it was only Mishum Safek, and because it was only Mishum Safek that he required both, he only required that you do both L'chadchila. But b'diavad, if you did only one, if you either were marchik or you were sad besid, you wouldn't need to do anything else. So, which would be very similar to what the Rush actually holds, if you say like that. However, the Gra is mevayer. What's the machlokas Rambam and the Rush over here? So he says the Rambam holds that once there's an Isra min HaTorah to be mazik, so l'chadchila, you have a suffix over here, you have a suffix iser, you have a suffix da'oraisa, there's an Isra min HaTorah to be mazik your friend, we're not sure, we're left the suffix if just being marked gimel tefachim is still going to be mazik your friend or not. So since it's a suffix iser, so the Rambam's going to say, you have to be machmir. Once you've already done the chafira, so now it's not a suffix iser, now it's only a suffix mamon. It's a suffix whether you're being mazik his mamon, right? Whether the presence of your bar is mazik his mamon. So now it's only a suffix mamon. So by mamon we always say motzi mechaver olafaraya. If the guy wants to impose extra expenses on you to do more, to be marchik and to be sad besid, motzi mechaver olafaraya. That's how the Gra explains the shitas Rambam. However, the Rush holds that even though there is an iser of mazik involved, but the ikar over here, when as with all nezikin, is b'dine mamonis. Meaning, when we look at nezikin, we always think in terms of dine mamonis, and therefore, since we're thinking in terms of dine mamonis over here, we simply apply motzi mechaver olafaraya, and therefore, since we're going to apply motzi mechaver olafaraya, you can't force the guy to do both. You can't force him to do both to be sad besid and be marchik gimel tfachim. Okay, so that's what it seems la halacha, that there's a machlokas Rambam in the Rush, and the Gra has that explanation. Says the Gemara Vayter, the Mishnah had said, Marchikin es hagefes ves hazevel ves hamelech ves haslaim, right, the Mishnah had said, all heat-causing, heat-generating items also need to be kept 3 tfachim away from your friend's kosel. So Tanan Hasam, Bame Tomnin Vame in Tomnin, in Mesecha Shabbos, we have a discussion about what you're allowed to do hatmana with. Right? What can you wrap a pot of food in on Erev Shabbos when you wrap it completely and you're doing hatmana? So Bame Tomnin, Bame in Tomnin, what items can you use? Ein tomnin lo begefes, v'lo bezevel, v'lo bemelech, v'lo besid, v'lo bechol, bein lachin, bein yveshin. You're not allowed to use any of these heat-generating items, many of which are mentioned in our Mishnah. But if you and at first you don't even notice, but if you take a careful look, you'll realize that the list in our Mishnah of heat-generating items that you're not allowed to put near a wall, and the list in the Mishnah in Shabbos about heat-generating items that you're not allowed to use to do hatmana with, are actually slightly different, and that's what the Gemara is going to pick on. Maishna, right? This is obviously talking about davar amosif hevel. There's two types of hatmana. There's hatmana b'davar amosif hevel, hatmana b'davar shein amosif hevel. People sometimes get confused with the term hatmana b'davar amosif hevel. Hatmana b'davar amosif hevel does not mean that the item itself generates heat, right? Meaning that if you use a towel around a pot, it might be mosif hevel. If it's done in such a way that the pot's going to get hotter than it ever could have gotten had the towel not been there, right? So, meaning it's not just that it's retaining the heat that's already there for longer, but that it's going to get hotter than it ever would be. Let's say over by an urn, right? When you put a towel over an urn, it could be that the water in the urn gets much hotter than it ever would had you not put the towel there. It's not only that it retains the heat, it's that when it initially heats up, since that original heat never has a chance to escape, so the intensity of the heat is much greater even originally. So that would be a davar hamosif hevel. That's not a davar she'ino mosif hevel. And obviously much more chamer with a davar hamosif hevel, even mayor of Shabbos. You can't do hatmana with a davar hamosif hevel. That's why I remember when they were advertising urn covers that you would wrap around the urn, and you would zip it up, and it would be matmin the urn really tightly, really well. So they said in it, l'chavad Shabbos Kodesh. So Rabbi Willer got all upset. It should say l'chilu Shabbos Kodesh, because that's what it is. It's chilu Shabbos to do atmanu b'davar amosif hevel. That's I'm sure what it is. Just got an email from my in-laws that were in Israel. They asked me if they should pick one up for me. So no, thank you. So anyway, but if you look at carefully at the list in the Mishnah and Shabbos, and you look at the list in our Mishnah, they're not exactly the same. So says Gemara, Maishna hacha de katani slaim v'lo katani chol, u Maishna hasam de katani chol v'lo katani slaim. Why over here in our Mishnah Do we have slotim on the list? And we had a whole discussion already. What are slotim? Tosfos says slotim over here doesn't mean coins. Right? It doesn't mean copper coins. Even though copper coins would be most of Hevel, they sit there baking in the sun, and it's a metal, it's a conductor of heat, so it would be most of Hevel. But the point is that who would keep their slotim out by the wall next to their property line near their neighbor's wall? It's not a normal place to keep slotim. So slotim, we said, is a type of rock. Both Rashi and Tosfos said, is a type of rock from which we get fire. So why over here in our Mishnah do we have slotim on the list of things that generate heat and therefore are a threat to your friend's wall, but sand is not on our list? Umayshna Hasam, but in the Mishnah in Shabbos, the Ketani Chol v'lo Ketani Slaim. Sand is on the list, slaim is not on the list. So says the Gemara, Am Rav Yosef l'fi shein darkan shal ben adam lahatmin b'slaim. Slaim is not on the list of Masechet Shabbos because it's not normal to do hatmana with slaim. So it doesn't make it onto the list since it's not something that's usual. The Mishnah is not going to tell me not to be matmin with, it's not going to give me an exhaustive list of everything you're not allowed to do hatmana with. There are lots of things you're not allowed to do hatmana with, but no one would ever dream of doing hatmana with them. The Mishnah only lists those things that a person might think of doing hatmana with. Since no one does hatmana with slaim, so slaim doesn't make the list of Masechet Shabbos. Asks the Rimigash, that only answered half the question. Right? The question was, why is slaim not mentioned there? And why is sand not mentioned here? We only answer why slaim is not mentioned there. Okay, so slaim is not mentioned there because it's not the derech. Sand, why isn't sand mentioned here? So he doesn't have a very strong teretz to this. He makes the ha'ara. It's an interesting ha'ara. Now, the maskana, it's not going to make a difference because the maskana, we're going to have a different approach that's going to answer both. Okay, Amalei Abaye. So Abaye says, wait a second. We don't mention anything that's not normal to do hatmana with in the Mishnah and Shabbos? Is that true? V'chidarkan shal ben adam lahatmin begizei tzemer l'shona shal argaman? Is it normal for people to do hatmana with wool and with argaman? Titania with right purple dyed wool. Titania, we learned in a brisa tomna begizei tzemer b'tzitzei tzemer b'shona shal argaman ubemuchin vein metaltalo son. We have a list in a brisa of things that you're allowed to do hatmana with, and it lists gizei tzemer, lishono shel argaman. Those aren't things that are normal to do hatmana with. So you see, the Mishnayos and Shabbos will talk about doing hatmana, whether it be with things that you would have a havamina to do hatmana with, whether it be with things you wouldn't have a havamina to do hatmana with. So don't tell me that the reason the Mishnah Shabbos doesn't mention slime is because it's not normal. We mention plenty of things that aren't normal. So answers the Gemara, Elam Rabbaye, Yagir Olav Reyo. We're assuming each Mishnah is mashlim the other. Each one reflects on the other. Since clearly both Mishnayos are trying to give lists of things, of items that generate heat, so we could figure out on our own that if there's an item or two mentioned in our Mishnah that's not mentioned there, or mentioned there, not mentioned here, that it should be in both places, that it applies equally in both places. Yagad alav reyo, right? Divrei Torah, raniyim b'makom echad, ashirim b'makom acher. That's the style that the Mishnayos were written in, to be mashlim each other. It's not just the Mishnayos. That's the style that a lot of Svarim were written in. That's how a lot of kashas on the Rambam, of why the Rambam doesn't say something over here and he says something there. A lot of the Achronim, a lot of times, answer very pashut kashas on the Rambam by saying Yagad alav reyo, that the Rambam assumes that you saw that in a different context he said this, so he assumes that you'll apply it to this context as well. Fine. Amalei Rava, but Rava says, wait a second. I Yagad alav reyo, l'snimnu l'kulu b'chadav, l'sni chadav minayu b'idach, and then I would know, v'lisni Yagad alav reyo. If it wanted to have each Mishnah reflect on the other, a more effective way of demonstrating that you want each to reflect on the other is to have all of the items in one Mishnah and only one of the items in another Mishnah. Let's say put all of the items in our Mishnah, Masechet Baba Basra, that generate heat, and then say in Masechet Shabbos, you're not allowed to do Hatmana B'davar Mosef Hevel, and then include and give one example, and we'll know from that one example that all the other items that are listed in our Mishnah must also apply over there as Dvar Mamosif Hevel. Why is it that there's so much overlap? So many of the items listed in our Mishnah are repeated in the Mishnah Shabbos, or the other way around. Shabbos came first, right? They're repeated in both Mishnayos. Why the need for the overlap if we're anyway going to rely on Yagad Alavreo? Ella Amar Rava, Rava says a different approach. No, you know why Slaim isn't mentioned in Masechta Shabbos? Not just because it's not normal to do Hatmanu with Slaim, it would be destructive to do Hatmanu with Slaim. Slaim would break the pot. That's what Rashi says. Shemeshabrinas Agadero Kach Shamati Kan, Rashi says, that Mishtaki means break. He says elsewhere we find mishtaki doesn't mean break, it means that it's going to cause chaluda, it's going to cause rust to the pot. But over here, Rashi says, I'm convinced that my Mesorah is correct, that it means to break the pot, not to cause rust. If you look at Tosfos Vim Tomra, Kati Tikshi V'chiderach La'atim V'gizit Semrach V'parach La'el, but couldn't the Gemara still follow up and ask, but wait a second, yeah, so you're saying that it's not the derech to be matamim with slaim because it damages the pot, and that's why it's not listed. Shouldn't we ask the same thing about Gizei Tzemer, that it's not normal to do the hatamana with Gizei Tzemer, and yet that's listed? So he says, V'yeshtom de le'el havabay l'memer dein derech la'atamim with slaim, l'fisha hevel yotzei miben aslaim v'enu meskayim. Previously, what we tried to say was that it just wasn't normal to be matamim with slaim because it's not the most effective tool to use for atmana. Vavel became the famim tamim behen. But, you know, sometimes you might do it because you have nothing to lose by being matman with slaim. And on that, we ask, well, gizei tzemer are similar. It's not at all normal to be matman with gizei tzemer. You certainly don't lose anything by being matman with gizei tzemer, but it's not normal to do so. And yet it's still listed in the brises and Shabbos. So over here, now we're saying something much stronger. We're not just saying it's not the derech to be matman with slayim. We're saying it's destructive to be matman with slayim. You do have what to lose if you try it. And therefore, no one in their right mind would ever do it. And that's why it's not listed in the Mishnah and Shabbos. So now you can't ask, oh, but Gizei Tzemer is the same. Gizei Tzemer is not the same. Gizei Tzemer, you have nothing to lose if you try it. Right? If you're matman with Gizei Tzemer, it may not be the most normal thing to do, but you have nothing to lose. It's not destructive. That's why we're not going to ask from Gizei Tzemer. So it tells us, Vayter va'odyesh lefarish, dikivin del shlichi klal shari lahatman men. Tos says even more so, since it's not at all normal to be matman with slaim because it's destructive, it's even mutter to do. It's a davar mosav hevel, yeah. But milsalo shchicha legozbu rabbanon, hatmana is not bishul. Hatmana is nisr drabbanon. It's not a melacha d'oraisa. So since it's only midrabbanon, and we know that the rabbanon only goes on things that are milsal d'shchicha, that are at least somewhat commonly done, and hatmana with slaim is not commonly done at all because it's destructive to your pot. So therefore, it's a milsal shchicha lo gazibu rabbanon. V'chein minak shalanu, he says, shanu nogin lahatman b'slaim, sheish yotzman, shekorin kailush. And tells us, and that's what we do all the time. We do atmanu with slaim because we know that it was never included in the original gzera. Isn't Tosos, aren't they risking all their pots in Tosos? Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. But that's what they do. They would do the atmana with slaim. Now, Rashi over here said that the damage done is that it breaks the pot, not that it causes rust. Why don't you just say that it's meaning of Rashi says everywhere else, mishtaki means it causes rust. Why don't we say the same thing over here? Why over here would we have a different translation of mishtaki than everywhere else? So the Rashash points out, Avokan Ief Shalafarish came, the Maichaluda Shaicha B'Kederas Cheres. Meaning over here you can't say that it causes rust because we're talking about a Kedera made out of Cheres. Cheres doesn't rust. So it has to just be that it's going to be Nishbar, that it's going to break. That's what you have to say. Tos Yontif understood that Rashi tries to say that what Rashi really means is that I have a Mesora that it means to break, but a b'kol makom, it always means rust, and therefore Tos Yontif understands Rashi's trying to say, over here it must also mean rust. Rashash says Tos Yontif is wrong about that. Rashi clearly means over here it means that it's going to break the kedera, because we're dealing with a pot, and therefore made out of cheres, made out of pottery, that's not shaykh for rust. So anyway, why over here in our Mishnah don't mean the sand? Sand doesn't generate heat. Sand will be mechamim, something that's already hot, and will be makarir, something that's already cold. It's a thermos. it doesn't generate any heat on its own. It's not something that's used just as a heating implement, and therefore it's not going to damage a wall unless there's already heat present. So we're not going to list sand in our Mishnah, but when it comes to Atmana, it will, since the pot is already hot, it will certainly generate more heat for that pot. Says Tosos to Mecham Michaim, Vadam Perakivra Beitza Ein Tomnosa Lo Bechol Lo Ba'avak Terachim. Right, in Maseches Shabbos, in Parakira, we say that you're not allowed to be tomin a beitza with chol, that's some chol that's already preheated. Right, if it's already preheated, it's certainly going to retain the heat. V'atani Rabbi Hoshea chol, says Maravaita, but doesn't Rabbi Hoshea have in his braisa about things that you're not allowed to keep near a wall? He does list sand. Sand says Gemara Hasam Matuna. Must be talking about moist sand, and therefore he's worried about water damage, not heat damage. Meaning, it's a first half of our Mishnah type of issue, not a second half of our Mishnah type of issue. Tana Didan Nami Listni V'Lukmi Matuna. So why doesn't our Mishnah list Chol? So list it in the first half of the Mishnah if you want. List it by the things that damage because of moisture, and not by the things that damage because of heat. So Hatana Le Amasamayim. No, it already listed Amasamayim, which already damages because of moisture. So there's no need to then go and list chol. Fractal Gemara, wait a second. Really? Once you list one item that damages because of moisture, we're not going to list any others? Atumilo Katani Amasamayim Katani Nevrech Sakovsin. It says Nevrech Sakovsin, even though it already says Amasamayim, and Nevrech Sakovsin is also water damage. And it says Gemara Hanutzrichi. Now, Amasamayim and Nevrech Sakovsin each teach me something different. Ditana Amasamayim Mishum de Kavia, Avon Nevrech Sakovsin de Lo Kavia Emelo. Amasamayim is there to stay. Nevrech Sakovsin may only be temporary. Rashi says, because Nevrech Sakovsin is something that a launderer has in his backyard. So the launderer may change his profession. The Amasamayim, no matter what you do for a living, you're going to have an Amasamayim in your backyard. But a Nevrech Sakovsin you're only going to have if you're a launderer. He may sell the house to someone who's not a launderer. He may change his profession, whatever it might be. So therefore, it's not as permanent, so I might think that it's not as big a deal. Vitan Nevrech Sakovsin, if it only would have told me Nevrech Sakovsin you need to be Marchik, which from the cover of the Kaimi, I would say, because that's still water that sits there and seeps through. Avlam Asamayim Lo, but I would have thought that Amasamayim, since it's not so still, it's flowing water, and therefore doesn't damage as much, I might have thought that you don't need to be marchik, tzricha, therefore I need both cases. Now it's interesting, when we talk about what causes damage because of moisture, and whether a Mishnah needs to list more than one item that causes damage because of moisture, all we compare is Amasamayim and Nevrech Sakovsin. We don't bring up bar, shiach, ma'ara, all those things are also water damage, aren't they? So the Ritva points out that the Mishnah has a whole list in the first half of the Mishnah of things that involve water. So the Ritva says that you have to say that those items, the bar, the ma'ara, those items not only damage through water, they also damage through the actual digging, through the weakening of the karka. So since they do double damage, they do two types of damage, they're listed in the Mishnah as well, even though we already list items that damage with water alone in the Mishnah, because those are unique mazikim that are listed in the Mishnah. But it's almost as if the Gemara is ignoring them. It's a difficult kasha. Okay, says the Gemara, Vayter. Marchikim es hazra'im v'samacharisha. You need to keep plants and plowing 3 tefachim away from your friend's wall. So Zra'im, Tebele Mishom Achrisha. Wait a second. If I have to keep plowing away from my friend's wall, obviously I can't plant near my friend's wall, because the only way to plant is by plowing. So why do you need to be taught both halachos? Just tell me I can't plow, and I'll know, obviously, I can't plant, because you can't plant without plowing. So answers more Mapolos Yad. Yes, you can plant without plowing. You can do everything by hand. So if you do it by hand, so then it won't be with plowing, and you'll plant without plowing, and even that's also because of the zraim themselves. So ask the Gemara in the reverse. Me'achrisha v'tebekle mishum zraim. Why would I ever plow? I'm only plowing to take care in order to be able to plant, right? So once you tell me that I can't plant, I'll know that I'm not going to be able to plow. Because why would I plow? Once I'm not planting, I have no reason to plow. So why bother telling me that it's usher to plow within 3 tefachim? Of course I'm not going to plow if I'm not planting. No, you might plow for the sake of trees that have been there for years and years already, right? As opposed to for zra'im that you're planting right now. So it could be that you're planting nothing new and you're still plowing. But wait a second. shouldn't it be usher to plant near the border anyway, because you have to water your plants and you're not allowed to put water within three tefachim of the border? No, we rely on rainwater, so you're not going to have to water anything. And afal pikein, it's also the plant. Says Gemara, lemeimra dizra'im letzadim kamishtarshi. Does this mean to say that when you plant zra'im, they root out toward the sides, and that's why they're going to damage? Because we're saying you're not allowed to plant within three tefachim of the wall. Must be because we're worried that the roots are going to go out toward the sides and are therefore going to go into your friend's property or weaken the wall. We have a mission that says as follows. Let's say you have a single vine, not a kerem. If it were a kerem, you'd have to be marked dal anos. You have a single vine that you're mavrich into the ground, so you dig it deep down into the ground, and you want to and you bring it out. Let's say you put it down in the ground over here and you bring it out of the ground 10 amos away, 5 amos away, somewhere much further away. So it runs underground like a pipe running underground. This vine runs underground and comes back up on the other side, right? So, and you want to plant a zera right above where it's running underground. So the Mishnah says you have to make sure that the vine is dug more than three tefachim into the ground. It's more than three tefachim beneath ground level, beneath the surface of the ground, if you want to plant something on top of it. But as long as you plant something even just a little bit to the side, then it doesn't make a difference. Then it could even be one tefach underground. If you plant off a little bit to the side, that's perfectly fine. You can plant wherever you want. So wait a second. But if we're going to say that when you plant zera, the shrushim go out to the sides, why is it okay over there to plant off a little bit to the side? Aren't the shrushim going to go at an angle right into the vine that's underground, and that's going to be a problem of kilei kerem? It's going to be a problem of kilayim because the vine is going to get mixed in with the shrushim. So answers the Gemara: Am Rabbi Chaga b'shem Rabbi Yosi m'neishem achlidin nesakarpa malinafar tichuach. No, the issue over here in our Mishnah is not about roots; it's about weakening of the ground. That it's not that the roots are growing out toward the side and therefore doing damage directly. It's that the growth of Zra'im, and when the Zra'im take root, it weakens the ground all around it. That's the problem. And therefore it's going to be a problem for the wall that you're planting right next to. Good, that's the issue. Nothing to do with growing out to the side. In a chinam, he's right, and don't grow out sideways. Fine. The Mishnah said, "Vesmer glayim in a kosel gimel tefachim." One needs to keep urine three tefachim away from the wall. Amar Rabbi Brachana, mutter l'adam l'ashamayim mitzad kosel shel chavero. Rabbi Brachana says it's mutter for a person to urinate right next to his friend's wall. That it says by Achav refers to people as mashtin bekir, that I'm going to cut off from Achav any mashtin bekir. So you see that mashtin bekir must be a reference to people, and that it's normal that people are mashtin bekir, that they urinate on walls, not only their own walls, even their friends' walls. So you see that you're allowed to urinate on people's walls. Now all the achronim jump all over this. Why would Rabbi Bar Bachana quote this pasuk? This is not the first time the phrase Mashtin Bekir is used in Tanakh. It's used several times before that. For instance, Chassam Sofer asks, by Naval, when David wants to attack Naval, because Naval wasn't very nice to him and to his workers, David's men helped Naval out a lot, and he refused to pay them. So whatever the whole story, that's how David ended up with Abigail. But whatever it was, when it also uses an expression of Mashtin Bekir. So Chassam Sofer says, why not bring the pasuk by Naval of Mashtin Bekir? So Chassam Sofer says, no, Naval's different, because Naval was a Mori B'Malchus. So when you're a Mori B'Malchus, the halacha is all of your nechassim go to the melech also. The melech can destroy all of your nechassim if he wants. It's not just that he can kill you and your nechassim go to your yarshim. So mashtin bekir could also mean a dog. It doesn't only mean, as we see soon in the Gemara, it doesn't only mean a man, it might mean a dog. So by Naval, it's pretty obvious that it could mean a dog as well. Because Naval's dogs were also mufkar to David to do what he wanted with, because Naval is a Marib Malchus. So David could have killed his dogs also. So maybe Mashin Bekir over there meant a dog. So Chassam Sofer has Vaiter, but what about by Yeravam? It also uses the Lashon Mashin Bekir. So he's very creative. He says, in Erevin it says that the Chatzar HaMelech is considered like its own city. and Yeravam had Avodah Zarah going on in his Chatzar HaMelech. Most of the people in the Chatzar HaMelech were doing Avodah Zarah. Mimela, says the Chasam Sofer, the Chatzar HaMelech of Yeravam had a din of Ni'ir HaNidachas. And the halacha by an Ir Nidachas is that all of the possessions of the Ir Nidachas are destroyed. Mela, the Mashvin Bekir, might mean a dog, because the dog is one of the possessions. So it could be that we're just saying that we're going to destroy all the possessions, including the dogs. And we have no raya that it refers to a human being. So the Rosh Hashanah's son in the back of the Gemara asks, but there's another one. It says by Basha, there also is a Lashon Mashvin Bekir and Sefer Malachim. And that comes before the Pasuk by Achav. So why doesn't it mention that one? So the Rosh Hashanah's son says, you're led to believe that all these terutzim are not terutzim, meaning that there's got to be one overarching teretz. And he says the overarching teretz is as follows. There's something unique about the phrase Mashvin Bekir as it appears by Achav and doesn't appear anywhere else. It's dafka by Achav, it says, Hichrati l'Achav Mashvin Bekir v'atzur v'azuv b'Yisrael. And he says the implication is that Rabbi Bar Chana understood that the phrase B'Yisrael is going back on Mashvin Bekir. That Mashvin Bekir B'Yisrael, and therefore it's indicative of the fact that this was a normal thing to do in Klal Yisrael. To be Mashvin Bekir, to urinate in people's walls. So apparently that's Rabbi Bar Chana's raya. It's dafka from the word B'Yisrael in the Pasuk. Anyway, frankly, Marva Anantan, Vesmeir Gai Minakos Shos Tvachim, but our mission said you have to keep urine 3 Tvachim away from walls. And says Mar Hasan B'Shovchin, that's when you spill out large amounts of urine, not when you just urinate on a wall. Tashma, lo yashna, the mayim b'tzad kol shachaveru, and kinyukim, menu gimel tfachim, you're not allowed to urinate near your friend's wall, unless you're machik 3 tfachim away, so you see, you need archak of 3 tfachim, even when it's just one person urinating, even when you're not pouring out a whole vat of urine, ba'medvar ma'amor amurim b'kosel levenim, that's only by a regular kosel that's made out of levenim, aval b'kosel levenim b'kitesh lo yazik, if it's a sturdier kosel made out of stones, then you only have to be machik far enough that you don't cause any damage. V'kama, how far is that? Tefach, one tefach is enough not to cause any damage. V'shaltzun m'mutter, but if it's rocky ground, where it's not going to cause any damage anyway, then it's going to be mutter. Tiyufta the Rabbi Bar Chana, Tiyufta, but that's a Tiyufta and Rabbi Bar Chana, because you see that even when it's just urinating and you're not pouring out a whole vat of urine, you see you still need to be marked like Gimel Tefachim. Tos says, why don't we just answer that Rabbi Bar Chana was talking about tsunma? Where we say it's mutter. He says, no, because that's not normal. He should have said something if he was talking about sunma. It's not the normal assumption that we're dealing with sunma, that we're dealing with very rocky ground. There's a discussion in the Achronim, if by Zriya also there's a chilik between a kosel levenim and a kosel levanim. That which you're not allowed to plant within three tefachim, is that only by a kosel levenim, which is a normal type of wall? But a kosel levanim, just like you're allowed to urinate closer to a kosel levanim, maybe you should be allowed to plant closer to kosel levanim as well. So the sma in Shulchan Aruch Sim Kuf Nun Hey points out, and Sivkan Chaf Hey points out that there's a chilek. When it comes to urine, the damage is being done to the wall itself, and therefore less damage is done to a stone wall than done to a levanim wall. But when it comes to the planting, the damage is being done to the karka underneath the wall. So since the damage is being done to the karka underneath the wall, it's the same no matter what the wall is made out of. You have to question whether that's accurate, but that's how he understands it. It's a machlok sechron. But Rabbi Rechana krakamar, but wait a second, how can you just reject Rabbi Rechana? He had a pasuk. It said mashin bekir. So hasam halki kamar, afilu midi didarki lashin bekir lo shavik nalei, umayniu kalba. No, all we're saying over there is even something that's, whose derech is to be mashin bekir, namely dogs, we're not going to leave achav with. That's all it's saying. It's not saying that men are mashin bekir. If you have a wafer in a window that doesn't take away from the size of the window, I mean, if you have a window that's a tefach al tefach, tuma can pass through that window. If you put something in the window that's exactly one tefach by a tefach, so now the airspace is less than a tefach by a tefach. So you might say tuma can no longer pass through. But if the item you put in is like a wafer, it's not going to cause the window still viewed as a full tefach by a tefach. Says, why dafka a rakik? Even a thick piece of cake also, sponge cake also, should be the same. So says, of course. Of course you've put a delicious piece of sponge cake which you might still want to use. And therefore you're clearly not making it part of your wall to be mevatel there, so clearly it's not going to be mema'it the size of the window. Clearly the window is still going to be viewed as a full tefach by tefach. The chiddush is, aval rakik de mamis, emu betulei maftalei. I would have thought rakik, which is something that's already disgusting, that you're mevatel to the window, that you're not going to ever take out of there, and therefore it's going to be considered an extension of the wall, and it's going to be mema'it the window, kamashmalon, therefore comes to tell me that even a rakik is going to be ma'it. Shouldn't we know anyway that a rakik can't be mema'it in the window because it's mekabel tuma? And the halacha is that anything that's mekabel tuma is not going to be cause a chatzitza, is not going to be able to be chotzitz b'fnei atuma. Says the Gemara, shenilash b'mei peiros. Now we're dealing with a rakik that was not made with water. It was made with fruit juices, and fruit juices are not mekabel tuma, and therefore we know that this rakik that we're speaking of is not mekabel tuma. So the only reason it's not ma'it b'chalon is the fact that you're not mevatel it there entirely. But the fact that it's not mekabel tuma is the fact that it's not something that's mekabel tuma. So that's going to be an irrelevant factor over here in terms of its ability to be mema'it b'chalon. Okay, we'll stop there and we'll continue in these sugyas of tuma. Be'ezras Hashem tomorrow.